So this is stupid. All right. So this is from The Atlantic. This is a serious publication. This is a serious article from serious people. The simplest fix to America's rent problem. And what they want is they want basically welfare for, it's like UBI, but for renters, where they get free money from the government to pay their rent.
Well, why go to the extra step? Just have government nationalize all the dwelling places or apartments.
Yep.
And then you get whatever they give you and like it.
Well, and you know, it even says the status quo is not working particularly well. I love how communists, they inject welfare and government and socialism into a system, and then when it breaks, they're like, well, the system's not working. We need more welfare and government. When it was the welfare and government that caused the problem. Do you know why rent is going up? It's not hard. So here's why rent is skyrocketing. Here's why you can't afford a place to stay. It's the eviction moratorium and it's inflation. So inflation caused by printing money, caused by the welfare state, makes real estate go up. Because, you print a shit ton of money, especially with historically low interest rates, and demand for real estate is at an all-time high. All-time high. And unlike the housing bubble from 2008, lending standards are very tight, and yet people are paying 20% above asking price in cash. They are buying up real estate. So you have landlords who unfortunately couldn't get in on this because the government also passed an eviction moratorium where they allow people to stay in their property for 18 months and not pay rent. And that just ended like a month or so ago. And so landlords who basically been eating this shit sandwich for 18 months are getting out of the landlording business. They're selling their property. They want to cash in on these high valuations. And so supply and demand. So now we're having more real estate entering the market for sale. All these landlords are getting out of the business. They're selling their homes to get them because they don't want to deal with being a landlord anymore and have another eviction moratorium where the government allows people to use their property for free for over a year. At the same time, now there's far less rental properties. So housing prices have kind of cooled because there's been more supply, but rental prices have gone up 30% because of a lack of supply. Now, whose fault is this? Whose fault was the eviction moratorium? Whose fault was the inflation?
It must be the evil landlord.
It was capitalism. Everyone knows capitalism is all about letting people stay in your house for free for 18 months and printing $4 trillion. What was it? Like 40% of the entire monetary amount. All the money in circulation. Like, is it 40%? It might be more. Like, was printed in the last year. And if you look at the M1 money supply, a lot of people are like, oh, actually, TFM, I watched a YouTuber, and he says that, printing money and stimulus and quantitative easing isn't inflationary. So, checkmate. You don't know what you're talking about. So, the M1 money supply. So, bank reserves aren't necessarily inflationary. So, like, for example, if the Fed or the government wants to increase bank reserves, they print a bunch of money. Like, let's say you have no bank reserves, and the government says you have to have $1 million in bank reserves, and the government prints $1 million and gives it to you, and that money just goes into your vault to satisfy the bank reserve requirement. It's not hitting the economy, and thus it's not inflationary. So the M1 money supply does not include bank reserves. And if you look up the amount of the M1 money supply, it goes parabolic in 2020. We printed so much fucking money, and it did not go into bank reserves. It went into the economy. It was spent. Once it's spent and in the economy, it causes inflation. So quantitative easing, when the Fed is just increasing bank reserves or buying bonds, as long as they're trapping that money in the bank, it's not necessarily causing inflation. Necessarily. Like, it has a secondary effect because you could loan that money out as long as you have assets to offset it, like bonds or whatever. But generally, if it's trapped in the bank, no inflation. Once that money gets spent and is in the economy, that's when you get inflation. And we absolutely sent trillions of dollars into the economy We absolutely caught anyone saying like, oh, this inflation isn't caused by the money printing. You're a fucking idiot. Like, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, you're so fucking obviously stupid. Look at the money we printed. Look at the inflation. Put two and two together. This isn't fucking hard. And the idea, oh, no, this isn't caused by the money printing. This is caused by supply chain disruptions. So, no, okay. Again, this is like the article we covered last week or the week before about how countries which treat women well are safer and more economically vibrant. Well, no shit. Poor, war-torn countries can't afford to have feminism. It's not that feminism causes prosperity and peace. It's that feminism only appears after a country has created prosperity and peace. That's when women feel safe to bitch. But when they're not safe, they don't bitch. So you're basically crediting the outcome for the result, or you're crediting the outcome for the input. You're saying something that was caused by A caused A, which is not true at all. So, inflation causes supply chain issues. You know why? Because you increase you print a bunch of money and you increase demand. Okay, so when you print a bunch of money and cause inflation, you're putting, like, when money enters the economy, this is how inflation happens, by the way. Let me tell you, so the government prints a shit ton of money. It goes into the economy. People get this money. They buy stuff with this money. Now, normally, money is created when things are produced. So for every increase in the money supply, there's also an increase in GDP. So you have a higher GDP, you increase the money supply, everything's fine. But when you increase the money supply without an increase in GDP, or worse, when you shut down the fucking economy because we got to save the boomers from a disease with a 99% recovery rate, we basically create less goods and services in the economy while showering money upon people, and those people are going to spend it. And so you have more demand and less supply, and people have all this money burning a hole in their pocket, and they buy everything that's available. That's, so they're like, oh, this inflation wasn't caused by the money printing. It was caused by supply chain disruptions. That's a product of inflation. Supply chain, insufficient supply is a result of inflation. That's why they have to raise the prices. Like, people don't say, oh, the government printed money, better raise my prices. No, people, the government prints money, the prices don't immediately go up. When it hits the market and everybody buys up everything with all the newly printed money, that's when they have to raise prices. So it's like, it's, again, they're lying to your face because they think you're stupid. And unfortunately, for the most part, they're right. Most people are fucking stupid. And they simply can't connect the dots between the money, the government printing $4 trillion out of fucking nowhere, and inflation. And the inflation, it's already at 6.5%. And the way the government arrives at that figure is they remove the top third. So they take all the different basket of goods that are inflationary, you know, food, energy, housing, whatever. They remove the top third and the bottom quarter. And that middle part is 6.5% inflation.
Why? What's their logic here? Or algorithm in removing those?
Yeah, it's supposed to be no. They just did it because it makes the inflation not look so bad. But there is a metric where they look at the price of exports and imports year over year, and it's increased 16% since last year, which is probably a lot closer to the actual inflation rate than 6.5%. Which is the worst. And even during the 70s, it never got that bad. So it's bad. And we're about to spend another, you know, $3.5 trillion. It's going to be really bad. Anyway, regarding the article, giving people more welfare will simply create more inflation, which will create housing prices to go up even more. And then the rent will be raised. Like, you cannot print shit without consequences. Nothing is free. You can't just give people free money and there's no consequences. That money has to, so either you have to raise taxes and take everyone's money. So let's say you do that. Let's say you raise taxes. Well, the welfare state is already more than the amount of income we could take in with taxes. Now you could do, now you can't tax the rich. However, if you do like a flat tax, like Europe has a VAT, which is basically the equivalent of a national sales tax. It's called the value-added tax. America doesn't have that. If we created a VAT and basically created a national sales tax, and we also tax corporations, which will simply pass on those taxes to the customer in the form of higher prices, basically force everyone to pay the tax. You can't tax the rich. If you raise their taxes, they'll just leave. So you have to tax the little guy through either corporate taxes, which get passed on in the form of higher prices, or a national sales tax, or something. But if everyone wants to pay higher taxes, sure, we could offset the welfare. But if the government is just taking your money and giving it back to you, you're not better off. Like they'll basically, you have to pay this VAT, and you have to pay all these taxes, and you have to pay these high prices, and then it's basically in a roundabout way giving you your own money back. It's not free. It can't be free. And if you're just going to print the money, you're just going to cause more inflation, which is why you can't afford a place to rent. And if you want the government to, and again, even the government mandating that landlords have to let you live there for free, that's not free either. Because sure, the people who got to live there for 18 months didn't have to pay rent. But now everybody's getting out of the rental market, and now there's no rentals, and the price went up 30%. This, and again, I've also told the story before. This happened when Obama was president, when he bailed out the auto worker unions. So there was a car, I can't remember what car company, I think it was Chrysler or GM, I can't remember, whichever. They went bankrupt, and rather than the bondholders getting first crack at the assets, which is what the bond is for, Obama stepped in and bailed out the unions because they voted for him and gave him money and fucked over the bondholders. So the bondholders got screwed over in favor of the unions. Now, what was the consequence of that? Every single unionized industry could no longer sell their bonds. No one would buy them. Why would I buy a bond paying a shitty interest rate? Because the whole point of a bond is like it's safe. I have basically guaranteed access to these assets in the event of a bankruptcy. But now with Obama's president, I don't have that guarantee. He can literally just say, fuck you, we don't care what the contract says. I'm going to do what I want. I'm the president. So no one would buy unionized industrial bonds. So the companies that have the unionized labor had to increase their bond yields in order to attract investors, which ended up costing them more money. And that's, at the end of the day, nothing is free. So the simplest way to fix America's rent problem would just make the problem worse. That's the simplest way to fix America's rent problem is to get the government out of it. Let the market. The main reason why there isn't enough housing is because the government restricts zoning. And they restrict zoning because the people want them to. Homeowners love it when the government restricts zoning because it increases the demand for their house and it causes their home value to go up. When their home value goes up, they're happy. When their home value goes down, they're mad. Because for most Americans, they don't own stocks or bonds or even NFTs. Their house is their
Oh,
biggest
Happy Life
asset.
donated
If
five.
the government didn't have all these zoning restrictions and let people build more housing, the price of housing would go down. However, that would upset existing homeowners who don't like to see their house value go down because that's their biggest asset. A lot of these, and also, this is also a roundabout way of basically bailing out the boomers who didn't save for retirement as Social Security and Medicare go bankrupt because they can't. They don't have time to invest in anything. They can't make any money. So the only chance they have is like selling their home. Well, if their home values go down, they're fucked. So we restrict zoning and we prevent new housing from being constructed. We cause existing homes to skyrocket, and then the boomers can sell their houses at a premium and they're going to be okay. Or they get a reverse mortgage or whatever. So if you want cheaper housing, you have to build more fucking houses. Basic supply and demand. Build more houses, price of housing goes down. And like in Canada, it's horrible. Like housing is like $1 million for a crack house. But why aren't they building more houses? If there's all these people who want to live in Canada and there's nowhere for them to live and these crack houses are going for $1 million, why not build more houses? Look into it. The government won't let you. The government doesn't want you building more houses because of the environment. So until, well, it's really not even the environment, it's other voters. Because here's the thing, there is no will of the people. The will of the people is a lie. There's different people and different groups with different self-interests, and many times they're mutually exclusive. So if you build more houses, you screw over existing homeowners in exchange for renters and low-income people who can't afford a home. So who do you think there's more of? Do you think they're more homeowners, or do you think they're more renters and more people who are poor and can't afford a home? You're going to piss one of these groups off. So you're a politician trying to keep your job. Who are you going to piss off? Are you going to piss off homeowners and build more homes and cause their home values to go down? Or are you going to piss off the poor people and the renters? And the truth is, most of the poor people and the renters are young people, and young people don't vote. And where they do vote, they vote Democrat. And so no one gives a shit. The Democrats don't care because chances are you live in a city that they're going to win anyway. Your vote doesn't mean shit. But the rich homeowners, I mean, they'll do all kinds of horrible things. They'll protest and all this kind of crazy shit. And then because young people are stupid, they'll just lie to you and claim it's for the environment. And young people are like, "Oh, it's for the environment. Oh, we got to save the environment. Global warming." And so you'll support the very policies that are fucking you in the ass because you're trying to fuck that hippie chick over there who smells like patchouli. Because you're horny and lonely. That's the problem. That's the genesis. Your lonely horniness leads you down a dark path of fucking hippies who smell like patchouli and have armpit hair. But they take it in the ass on the first date, and there's something to be said for that. Anyway, all right, so that's about all I got to say about this whole fixing America's rent problem.
Oh, and also this article looks like it's on MSN, but if you look on right by the title, it's from The Atlantic,
Right.
and by a woman, of course.
Yeah, she's fucking retarded. Well, what can you say?